Join in if you know the words. Guesses for what this evening's theme is, you know, in words, in music, what more can you ask for? Under pressure, it's not something new. Queen was singing about it over 30 years ago. Over 30 years ago, can you believe that? I had this horrid realization just the other day. You know, Slade, Merry Christmas, everybody. A couple of years and that'll be 50 years old. Make anybody feel old? Under Pressure is our theme for tonight, and we're starting a new series, David's Diary. King David, that is, in case you were confused. Not the book that I've just taken a picture of the cover of, David's Diary. King David from the Old Testament. That's the subject that we're looking at, and tonight, Under Pressure. When it comes to pressure, I thought it would be a good place to start was to try and explain what is the difference between stress and pressure. So I went to what I hoped were some experts to help me with this. Stress occurs when you perceive the demands of the situation outweigh your abilities to respond. So, for example, too many bills, too little money to pay for them. Too much college work, too little time to do it. Stress, the demands of the situation outweigh your abilities to respond. As opposed to pressure. Pressure occurs when you are in a situation in which you have something at stake and the outcome is dependent on your performance. So, for example, getting a job depends on your interview, getting good exam grades depends on your performance in the exam. Stress and pressure. So tonight we're thinking about a particular situation in David's life. So was he under stress? Was he under pressure? Here's a few extracts from 1 Samuel 18 and 1 Samuel 19 about what was going on in David's life at this particular point in time. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. Then after there's been a bit of a skirmish and a battle with another country, it goes on, as they danced, they sang, this is the crowds, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. The king is watching him. And then in 1 Samuel 19, Saul told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David. And then Jonathan speaks to his father Saul. It says, Saul listened to Jonathan and took this oath, as surely as the Lord lives, David will not be put to death. And then just a few verses later it says, while David was playing the lyre, Saul tried to pin him to the wall with his spear. And Saul sent men to David's house to watch it and to kill him in the morning. So is David under pressure or feeling stress? Well, let's just have a look. Stress occurs when you perceive the demands of the situation outweigh your abilities to respond. So if it's you and against the king and his army, I guess it might be a stressful situation. Pressure occurs when you're in a situation in which you have something at stake and the outcome is dependent on your performance. So I guess if your life's on the line and you're on your own, then it's down to your performance to stay alive. Something is at stake. David is under pressure, is in a stressful situation. So what can you do if you're in a stressful situation? Well, I thought, let's go to some more experts, this time the NHS website. So if it's you against the king and his army, just think about you being in David's situation. Would this be of help to you? In life, there's always a solution to a problem, says Professor Carey Cooper, an occupational health expert at the University of Lancaster. Here are some suggestions. Be active. Have some me time. Challenge yourself. Work smarter, not harder. How do you think that works for you when the king and his army are trying to kill you? Well, actually, in David's situation, some of these things actually happened. Of course, at the minute he's hiding in his house, so I guess you could say he's getting some me time. Later on, he's on the run, so I guess you could say he's being active. Not sure about the working smarter, not harder, what he'd have to do in this particular situation. So what if your life is on the line and you're on your own, if you're under pressure? Here's another helpful hint. Helping people who are often in situations worse than yours will help you put your problems into perspective. How do you think that would work if you're on the run and at threat of being killed? Thing is with these things is they're not bad suggestions. That's why they're on the NHS website. But it really depends on your situation, doesn't it? A few years ago, there was a survey done of what were known as first world problems. So here are a few of them. This is taken from the Independent newspaper. So here are some first world problems. They had 50 of them. I just picked out a few. Number 6, having no Wi-Fi. Number 9, having a bad phone signal. Number 10, not being able to find the end of the sellotape. Anybody have that problem over Christmas? Isn't it infuriating? 13, not finding anything you like when clothes shopping. Now, I like this. If you just jump down to the bottom, number 39, having to package up and return clothes you bought online and don't want. It seems you can't win when it comes to clothes. And the ones in the middle, having to use a tin opener when the tin doesn't have a ring pull. So, first world problems. The solutions to those are relatively simple, aren't they? But what happens if you live in some of the world's poorest countries? What are your problems? Access to clean water, adequate nutrition, lack of sanitation, disease, impact of climate change, and conflict. All these things are problems for you. They're not quite in the same league, are they? When it comes to problems, sometimes what we need is perspective. And it depends where you're looking from things, looking at things from perspective. So in David's situation, what does he do when the king has sent men to kill him and they're waiting outside of his house? Could be like a quiz this, you know. What would you do? It's an odd thing, isn't it? What would you do? And David does something which you might think is quite odd in this situation. Seems quite odd. David decides to sit down and write a song. Wouldn't we all? If you can write songs, that is, of course. So this is Psalm 59. At the top of it, it says this: for the director of music, to the tune of Do Not Destroy, of David and Michtam, when Saul had sent men to watch David's house in order to kill him. Now, we don't know if David actually wrote the music or he just borrowed the music from someone else and wrote the words. And this is some of what he writes. Deliver me from my enemies, O God. Be my fortress against those who are attacking me. Deliver me from evildoers and save me from those who are after my blood. The first thing that David does is turn to God. And he writes, they return at evening snarling like dogs and prowl about the city. They wander about for food and howl if not satisfied. But I will sing of your strength in the morning. I will sing of your love. For you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. You are my strength. I sing praise to you. You are God. You, God, are my fortress, my God on whom I can rely. David turns to God. God is always there and always available. God always there to hear us and to listen. God can be there in the problems that seem insurmountable, but he can also be there in the everyday problems. We don't just have to turn to God in the worst situations. We don't have to wait until it's life and death before we talk to God about things in our life. Stress and pressure are part of living in the world. Everyone experiences them to some degree, some a lot more than others. But God is always there for us. This is what the Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Romans. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us, whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day, we are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Does it mean that God no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. It doesn't mean that. God is still with us. God still loves us. And Paul carries on. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God's love. When we are under pressure, God is there. God is there for us to turn to. God is always there. The fact that we're in different difficult situations and circumstances doesn't mean that God does not love us. God always loves us, and he's always there for us. And the thing is sometimes we need to get perspective on our problems and on our life. And there's this little cartoon which I think is quite helpful. Life on earth is a drop in the bucket of eternity. So live with eternity in mind. Whatever troubles we have, whatever pressure we're under, whatever bad things happen, all of these things, in eternal terms, are just momentary afflictions. They will pass. But God will always love us. He loved us before we were born. He'll continue to love us into eternity. I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, says Paul. And he lists everything he can possibly think of that might be able to do it, and then says still, no, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is there with us in the stressful situations. When we're under pressure in our lives, God is always with us. We just have to turn to him and recognize that he's there. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that nothing can ever separate us from your love. Thank you, Lord, that it doesn't mean that if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death, it doesn't mean that you don't love us. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Lord, in the difficult circumstances and situations of life, we pray that we would know your presence and we would know your strength. Lord, thank you that you are with us, that that was your promise, that you would be with us to the end of the age. You don't go away just because our lives are difficult. You don't walk away and leave us to it. Lord, you walk with us as we go through the difficulties of life. Father, fill us with your Spirit and strengthen us in those situations. Help us to be firm in our faith and to follow you in all that we do. For we ask it in Jesus' name.